3. And so when I was young and growing up, my father actually bought some property in northern Arizona in a place called Heber Overgaard. Have you ever heard of Heber Overgaard? You take Phoenix up north to Payson, and you turn right at the McDonald's, and you go for about another 45 minutes towards Sholo, and right there is this hole-in-the-wall place called Heber, and right next to it is Overgaard, and at some point they kind of combined it to Heber Overgaard. And when I was a kid, I would go to Heber Overgaard in the summertime. And the really great thing was, is that my dad decided to build a cabin on the property. And when I was in sixth grade, I helped my dad build the cabin. Or rather, he built the cabin and I probably messed a lot of things up. But it was great fun. And then, after the cabin was done, pretty much in junior high and in high school, we would go up there all the time, and spend our summers, or a good chunk of our summers, in Heber Overgaard. I don't know if I've ever told you that before, but it's true. I lived the most blessed childhood because I didn't have to spend my summers in Phoenix. How many of you want to get out of Dodge? So anyway, when we went up to Heber Overgaard, my father purchased motorcycles. And so we would ride motorcycles in Heber Overgaard. Now, this was a long time ago, and I think back at this, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. But my dad would say, okay, just, you know, take the motorcycles, just don't get killed, and don't cross the highway, and be back before dark. And so we would go, me and my brothers and sisters, we'd take the motorcycles, we'd go out, we'd ride along the highway. We didn't have helmets on. I know, but they didn't have, I don't think they had been invented yet. I don't know. But anyway, but the place we loved to go was to Circle K, which was about 5 miles away. And we would hop on the motorcycles. We would go to Circle K and spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on gas to get a piece of gum for 3 cents. And we get back on the motorcycle and come back. Anyway, this was my beloved childhood. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I loved riding motorcycles, as did everybody in my family. And my father once told me, he said, David, you know what we should do? We're going to do this. He said, instead of taking the Beeline Highway and coming across through Payson, he said, how about you and me hop on the motorcycles and we'll go over Four Peaks, which is a mountain range between Phoenix and Heber Overgaard, and we'll do that and we'll camp and it'll be a great time. And I'm like, yes, that would be so much fun. But it never happened. My father's business kind of fell through. In high school, we lived in five different homes in high school. And for whatever reason, we were always moving and we were never able to. And once high school's done, right, then you go off to college. And I just never, ever got to do that dream that I wanted to do. It was kind of a broken promise, wasn't it? And I don't blame my father. I mean, things happen. I'm not angry or bitter or anything like that. But as I was preparing for today's sermon and looking at promises that happened when I was growing up, for some reason, that promise sticks out. Have you ever had a promise? Have you had a promise like that? Maybe somebody that made a promise to you and said, we're going to do this, and it's going to be great. And for whatever reason, the promise fell through, and you never got a chance to do it. We're going to talk about promises today. We're going to continue this sermon series, Special Things. And I'm so grateful to God for Larry and Joe filling in last week and the week before to talk about special gifts and special or good, great gifts and great advice. But today we're going to talk about promises. And we're going to see what God has to say about promises. Because basically, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but there's basically two kinds of promises, right? There's conditional promises, and there's unconditional promises. Now, our Old Testament lesson from this morning is a conditional promise of God. I don't know if you picked it up, but from Genesis 17, where God is giving this promise to Abraham, this is what he says. He says, behold, my covenant is with you, And you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. That's the promise. No longer shall name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I've made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. But listen to what it says in verse 10. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. So God said, this is a promise I'm going to make to you, Abraham, but it's not an unconditional promise, it's a conditional promise. You must follow me. All the males must be circumcised. You cannot turn your back away from me. And when you do that, the promise is no longer, it becomes null and void. That's what we call a conditional promise. Now, you and I know about conditional promises all the time, don't we? We call those contracts, where we sign a contract, and I'm going to do these things, and you're going to do these things. And if we both keep our end of the of our agreement, then things are great. But if either one of us fails, then I'm no longer bound to do my part of the agreement. You all know this, right? As a matter of fact, some of you work in businesses where you have to go through contract training to make sure that you don't sign the bottom line on a contract that's going to encumber your company into something that your company doesn't want to be encumbered for. Some of you sign contracts all the time, and so you know what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, some of the things become so outrageous that they put warning labels on things to make sure that you follow what you're supposed to do if you're going to use a product. I'm sure you've heard of these things before, right? For example, the terrestrial digital outdoor antenna. On the packaging, it says this: do not install if you're pregnant or drunk or both. Okay. And you know why it says that, right? Because probably somebody did it when they were pregnant or drunk and something bad happened. Or the Vidal Sassoon hairdryer: do not use while sleeping. Or the iPod Shuffle, which really does say this, I guess: do not eat the iPod Shuffle. I guess it kind of looks like candy, I don't know. The Rowenta iron: do not direct steam at people or animals or iron clothes if they're being worn. The AutoShade windshield visor: do not drive with the sunshade in place. And this, I think this is really, really true. On the Superman costume, it says, wearing this garment does not enable you to fly. I found out the hard way. But there's a difference between a human contract and a contract with God. In a human contract, both of us have to fulfill the requirements for the contract to stay in place, right? But when you have a contract with God, God will always honor his side of the contract. So if something happens and the contract fails, it's not God's fault, because God always follows through on a contract or on a promise. So if God promises something, he will always follow through with it. And if a promise doesn't happen, it's not his fault, it's our fault. Now, I know what some of you are saying, and that is, well, I've made a promise with God and I kept my bargain. I said, Lord, if you let me win the lottery, I promise I will give all that money to charity. And then God doesn't make you win the lottery. But for a promise with God to be valid, he actually has to agree with the promise, okay? You can't just make a promise and put it out there and say, God, fulfill your end. Because he doesn't work that way. He's God, and we do not tell God what to do. Now, sometimes he will. For example, if you'll remember, Martin Luther was caught in a storm, and it was lightning all around him, and he prayed, and he said, save me from this lightning, and I will become a monk. And he was saved from the lightning, and he became a monk. See, you have to follow the promise with God, right? And so Martin Luther did. That is a conditional promise. Here's another conditional promise. We've been teaching First Communion on Wednesday nights, and we got there the first night, and it was the same night that Mrs. Hook's early childhood is actually hatching little baby eggs, little fertilized baby eggs that are turning into chickens. And it was the day they hatched was First Communion class. And I was so excited. I wanted to get over there to see the chickens, but I couldn't get over there because I had First Communion class. So I told the kids, I said, if you behave yourself in First Communion class, then I will take you over there and we can all go look at the chicks. They were perfect angels. So it happened last week too. They were perfect angels. We saw the chicks. They're much bigger. Let's see if we can get 3 for 3, okay? I'm just really hoping that they'll be perfect angels. That's a conditional promise. But there's also a thing called an unconditional promise. This is something that happens no matter what. And we have an example of this from our reading today in 2 Peter 3, where Jesus promises that he's going to return. Now, when Jesus promises that he's going to return on some day, we can take that to the bank. He's going to do it. But Peter says, but be wary, because it's not going to happen when you think it's going to happen. It's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to be sudden, and it's going to be quick, and it may not happen when you expect it. And then he says there's going to be people who are going to think that he's not going to come back because it hasn't happened yet. Peter says, but remember, an hour is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years with God. So we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. But we do know, and we can bank on the fact that someday Jesus will return and call us up to be with him forever in paradise. That's going to happen because it's a promise from God. It's an unconditional promise. And when God has an unconditional promise, it's different than a conditional promise. A conditional promise says you have to do this and this and this and this, and then I will keep my bargain. But when God gives you an unconditional promise, you're off the hook, because it's going to happen no matter what you do. Because an unconditional promise isn't based upon what you do. It's based upon who God is. And there are lots of conditional promises in Scripture. One we had in the children's message, which is that I will love you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Once you are mine, I will hold on to you forever. That is a promise from God, that he will hold on to you. That's the unconditional promise. And then there's actually a third kind of promise. It doesn't really involve God as much, but it involves us. And that's broken promise. How many times in your life have you promised something to God, or you promised something to somebody else, and you broke it? You said, I'm going to do it, and then you don't do it. Now, there's lots of reasons why this may happen. For example, let's say that 2 years ago, you told your kid, I'm going to take you to SeaWorld, and we're going to see the Shamu show. You can't do it anymore. The Shamu show doesn't happen in SeaWorld. I don't know if you, do you know that? Oh, they broke it. If you made that promise to your kid to go see the Shamu show at SeaWorld and then they closed it down, there's not much you can do about it. Conditions change. We live in a sinful world. Things happen. Not every promise that you make is going to happen. In the case of my father, his business went crazy and he didn't have time and things happened. Or maybe you made the promise that you're going to go to Disneyland, you're going to ride the Matterhorn. And you get there and the Matterhorn is closed for repairs. Or maybe you say, tomorrow we're going to go on a picnic. And you wake up and it's Vail and it's going 90 miles an hour in the wind. There's no way you're going to go have a picnic. And so you say, we're not going to do the picnic. Now the great thing about kids is they're pliable, they understand for the most part that things happen, change happens, but it is a broken promise. Or maybe you make a promise because you want to get elected to an office, and you make all sorts of promises that you have absolutely no intention of keeping. Who knows? This may happen from time to time. I'm just saying. I don't know. But for whatever reason, humans break promises. But God never, ever breaks a promise. The whole of Scripture is contained with, is imbued with promises from God. And if it's here, He's going to follow through with it every single time. Every single time. We fail, but God never fails. My son, when my daughter was young, I told her I wanted to take her to Havasupai. I don't know if you've ever heard of Havasupai. It's this beautiful area down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's got these big, beautiful pools. And I told her, someday we're going to go down to Havasupai. Well, it turns out that my life got busy, her life got busy. It's the exact same thing as my father. I never took her. And now I can't even take her because Havasupai has been completely destroyed. Now there's different pools, but it's not like it was. The opportunity to take her to see the most beautiful pools there are in the whole entire world is gone. Even if I wanted to take her today, I couldn't. And I felt bad about that. And I went to her one time and I said, I am so sorry that I've never taken you to see Havasupai. And she looked at me and she said, what's Havasupai? You know that place I promised you I'd take you? You did? Sometimes the promises are harder on us than they are on the people we promise to. I never made the promise to my son, but a couple years ago I was able to take him to Havasupai. It was a great thing. You know, life happens. Sometimes things happen we have control over. Sometimes things happen we have no control over. But God is in control. And when God makes a promise, He always follows through. And here's a promise to God. Here's a promise from God. He loves you and He'll never let you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.